The following shiur is being recorded for TorahDownloads.com, a project of the Yehuda Mann Foundation, Le'ilui Nishmas Yehuda Aryeh ben Yoshua Yakir.
We had described yesterday was kind of an understanding of the central feature of mitzvahs and Torah and so on and so forth, and how to build different structures that include all the mitzvahs and have a central theme. We went just kind of cursory through a few of them. There was one that I wanted to add, which is kind of not easy to grasp, but it's a very important one. I think it's probably today one of the more dominant ones. The Chazon Ish, when he wrote his Muna Bitochen, he wrote with some critique of the Musa movement, and certainly Hasidus is included with it. And by and large, his critique was as follows. It cannot be that there are other activities needed to bring out the toelos of the Torah and the mitzvahs. You can't say, well, we have to add Musa, we have to add Hasidus, we have to add this, we have to add that. What he instead proposed was that the mitzvahs as they are, if properly executed, bring about in a person every mila and mida tova that could be, and that's what ought to happen. And he kind of demonstrates it with a few examples, but I guess the main point is, if I were to ask somebody, when you get a big box from a kit from Home Depot or from one of these places where you have a zillion things over there, and someone to ask you, what are you focusing on? So if you start waxing about this shed is going to be very big and it's going to be roomy, it's going to be this and that, that answer is not quite the right description of what you should be focusing on. You need to be focusing on filling out the instructions exactly. What are you doing? I am making sure that when it says take a number three nut, that you don't take a number two or a number four. It's got to be the right side one, it's got to be the left side one. That's really what you ought to focus. Will a great house come out? Yes, it will. But if you're to ask yourself, what's kind of my overriding theme? My overriding theme is to put the pieces in exactly the way I was told to do. So the Chazon Ish's point was that the focal point of a person's learning a Kiyum HaTorah should be on doing the Maisa Mitzvahs exactly the way one was taught to do them. It requires a lot of effort in being Yoreid Lasukish Maisa Berachasa to get things down to the very, very Nekuda of Halacha. It means putting a lot of effort to do things exactly they ought to be done, and then everything will follow. The shed will be exactly where you want it because you put the pieces together. This was, I would say, in a certain sense, the Chazon Ish's approach. It's pretty much the way he brings it as far. And the Brisker Rav, even though they were very, very different, their focus was a very, very Maisa focus, and they saw in it the accomplishment that brings everything together. And it almost takes away when we start looking for philosophical themes, whether it's the warmth and the emotional energy of Hasidus, whether it's the intellectual sweep and understanding of the literature, what's the Sham Shafal Hirsch's sense of the world, etc. At the end, they said the theme is get the pieces exactly in place the way it's supposed to be. It takes a lot of effort to do that, and that's what you're here to do. When you have done it, it will come out good.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Did they focus on just the Maisa itself, or Kavanas behind it? Because in Mitzvah Tishayim, the Ramchal speaks a lot about Kavanas a person has when they're doing the mitzvah, the Shatam HaMitzvah and the like.
The main Kavanas that they seem to express was that this is what I'm supposed to do. And it's just like the tzivui, being a mitzvah, is the core of a mitzvah, and therefore, like the Gemara says, lama tikin rachmana matiku, In other words, there was a very strong sense of duty, obligation, tzivui, and that was the way, that was the chut, that was the mechut al-shulish, that was the briach ha-tichon that sort of took everything around. I'm saying it because I think it's important. Today, there's been a carryover to our generation. A lot of, I guess, what today is most common in the olam of people that are very, very makbid and so on and so forth, it is a lot of chazanish, glesbiskarov type of attitude towards it, and I thought it was very important to be mashlamit. Okay, now we want to look at the next piece. So we've described overall schemes in terms of what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purpose, so to speak, in giving Torah mitzvahs, what's man's motivation in doing Torah mitzvahs, and how do we, when we're doing Torah mitzvahs, how do we grasp the package and so on. There is another aspect in this understanding of the total picture which is very relevant to a lot of the questions that were on that sheet. And that goes as follows. The Baal HaTanya says, for instance, that all of Klal Yisrael is nimshal together to a guf. Just like an individual body has limbs and pieces, and every limb and every organ has a part of itself that is common with everything, and a part of itself that's unique to itself. So my liver's liverness is unique to the liver, but my liver being part of the body, being accepted by the body, feeding the body, accepting from the body, sorting, whatever, is all integrated with the body. So every Klal Yisrael as a whole, besides every person's own individual obligations and accomplishments, the real picture is accomplished by Klal Yisrael as a Klal. This is true. The Kuzari, in his words, says that that's the reason why Klal Yisrael needed to go from being an Avraham Avinu to a nation, because the players on the stage of the universe are nations and peoples, not individual people. In the Baal HaTanya's language and vocabulary, and Mukubalim, it is that there is a body, a body of a tzuras adam haklali, and every single person is a little piece of that body. The big tzaddik might be the very core of the brain or the heart, and the rasha might be a toenail, but there he is, and he contributes. Now, I wouldn't say the word rasha is the right word, the person with the low level and so on and so forth. What this gives us is a beginning of an understanding of the variations in the bigger picture of avoda that there exists in Klal Yisrael. So if Klal Yisrael were Shishim Ribo people, each and every single one of them in a rat race, then we would not expect to have we would not expect in any sense to have differences in avoda. Everybody is different, and everybody is his own person. They have a similar Torah mitzvah, and that's that. But in the overall picture, the liver cell has needs and functions that are common to all cells in the body, and it has needs and functions that are unique to itself. We don't need Kabbalah Chassidus for it. We actually have it in Chumash. Klal Yisrael consists of 12 Shvatim. Kehal Goyim. Klal Yisrael is an assemblage of many nations, meaning that each and every one is fully developed in a certain prat, and together they work as a klal. It says Yaakov Avinu, when he gave the Shvatim the Bracha, it says he benched each one kibirchasam. He benched each one with the Bracha that was natural to them. Yaakov Avinu picked up on everybody's natural talent, and that's the Bracha that he gave to them. The number 12 is not a Mikra number, like all numbers are not Mikra in the Maral scheme. 12 is called Yud Beis Gevulos Alachson, which is as follows. If you have a cube and you count the lines that make the outline of the cube, you get 12. Try it, and it works. The you have four lines on top, four lines on the bottom, and four lines connecting those two squares. So you have 12 in total. That means each cube is shaped by having 12 different posts, 12 different situated in a uniquely different in a uniquely different position, different pieces. That is what the number 12 is. Klal Yisrael consisted of 12 separate mini nations, each one with a very different temperament, with a very different essence. And each one got a bracha that was very different. Dan and Asher and Gad and Naphtali, each and every single one got a very different bracha because they had different destinies, different individual, not goals, individual roles to meet a common goal. Chazal expressed it extraordinarily in an extraordinary description. It says, when Yaakov Avinu was laying on his deathbed and his children were standing around him, he said, come, I want to be Megal through the Kates. And then the Shechina was nostalgic. So he said, maybe there's somebody amongst you who is a min, because that's why the Shechina is nostalgic. So they said to him, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokein, Hashem Echad. That here Yisrael meaning Yaakov Avinu. That's the pshat of the words according to this memory Chazal. Yisrael Sava, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokein, Hashem Echad. And he looked around them and said, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Lolom Vaed. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokein, Hashem Echad means that there is only one Nekuda and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Picture it. They are standing a ring around a center. They point inwards, and by pointing inwards, by Paul pointing at Yaakov, they are converging. That's what's happening. Yaakov Avinu is the center point, and he looks around, and he sees the divergence. He looks in the front of him, to the left of him, to the right of him, to the back of him, between the back and the left, between the back and the right, etc. So, Klal Yisrael, the Shiftekar, is the right word to say, Shiftekar are converging to Echdus, and Yaakov Avinu is diverging to Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso. That is the apt description of that relationship. Yaakov Avinu is dead center, and the 12 is the divergence. Another kind of sort of Kabbalah remes, the 12 Shvatim represent, we said, the 12 different lines that need to build a cube. The number 13 is famous as standing for Echad. Echad can be broken down to Chesrikiyim, which are all the levels of the up-down axes. Dalet Ruchos Hashemayim, which is the sum of the all the different axes around it, the distance, and the Aleph, which is the center point that brings everything together. So we have that relationship of Yaakov and Shiftekar, and that's supposed to last forever. In other words, Klal Yisrael is meant to display how the different facets of creation come together towards one piece. One shevet is Al-Chof Yamim, one shevet is Gud Gududi Gudeno, one shevet is Shmein Alachmo, and so on and so forth. The different sub-departments of the substrat of this world, and they are all focused in one place. When Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, that's the way they were supposed to be. Shevet Levi in the middle, and if you count 12 Shvatim besides Shevet Levi. In other words, if Menashe and Yo and Ephraim are separate Shvatim, then Shevet Levi becomes the midpoint in the way that Yaakov was. Shevet Levi is the midpoint with the Mishkan, and everything points towards it. Three Shvatim, three Shvatim, three Shvatim, three Shvatim. That is the structure of Pi'ezer. Let's, extrapolate it to something that is relevant to us. And I guess that's where I'm coming with it, as I'm going with it. If a person asks himself, what is Chovasi Bolami? What is my role in the world? The answer is twofold. Let's give an example. If I take a soldier of the American army, the Israeli army, and I sit him down and I say, what is your duty? One answer is to defend my country and my people and their values. That answer is true for every single member of the armed forces. The question also answered, my duty is to shoot from this gun, to plot this trajectory, or to fry schnitzel. That is a very specific goal. Both are true, because every single soldier carries two facets of belonging, of being a member of the army. He carries the general, the klal sense of to protect and so on, and a specific job that is usually unique to him, whether by its nature or in general, and so on and so forth. If we're to ask ourselves, and this is true also in the training, every single soldier is trained to be organized, to clean, to march, to shoot some gun. Even if his job is probably going to be to fry schnitzel, he's the great schnitzel fry, it doesn't make a difference. Every single soldier has a training that is across the board, because these are the basic skills that we will associate with the general duties of an army. But each one that has specialized training to fit exactly what he's supposed to do. When a person asks himself, Machavasi Bolami, so now on the practical level, there's going to be a need for two answers. One answer is, from Akash Bogos' point of view, to be Megalik Vochamayim, Marbek Vochamayim, whichever point we want to say it. From its personal point of view is, whether we called it Vesanig al Hashem, Vestabik Hashem, whatever it is, that's a good answer. But those are personal, from the personal dimension of each individual. How the person is the common denominator of all the people. Then I ask you, what is your specific tafkid? In the old days, it was simple, or let's to put it better yet, there was a simpler answer. You were born to a shevet. The traits of a shevet carried on automatically, or pretty much that was reality. Zvulun was on Chof Yamim, and the Gemara said that many generations later, somebody used to like a beachfront house, and he was kind of a Zvulun. Pardon the pun, but modern day Zvuluns also seem to like beachfront houses. He met somebody who was very contentious and very, very, he was always waiting to litigate stuff, and he was done. He was a shevet done type of person, and so on. These were genetic variations in cholesterol that each shevet had its peculiar strengths and as a result, had weaknesses. So that was easy. There's a guy in, I believe, in the beginning of Pasha's Devarim, or the beginning of Kumish Devarim, that says that in the old days they went to a Navi to ask him what's the path he should go on. When a person would ask himself, what is my task in the world, the answer would go to Navi, and Navi would be Megalit. Today, we don't have that. We're not even terribly, terribly sure of our Shevet that we're from. We certainly don't know it in terms of the other Shvatim and in terms of Shevet Levi, We have a chazaka that we're kind of in the VM, but it's a chazaka, and we don't have any real way of saying what is our particular avoda. That becomes a bit of a crisis. It's very hard to feel that you've got a job to do, and you don't know what the job is. That makes it even harder. It's hard enough if you know what you're supposed to do, and you need to, there are challenges to it. But if you don't know what to do, then you have a real problem with it. Generally speaking, the approach in finding what your particular job either was a kind of a Ruach HaKodesh approach by Chassidim, where you went to Rebbe and the Rebbe looked at the Shorash HaShem and said, Chatzkul, you're going to be doing this, you're going to be doing that. There was a kind of sense of a leader dictating, and you accepted it because he's a leader and because the Ruach HaKodesh and so on and so forth. In the literature world, where we're short on people to Ruach HaKodesh, and it was not that, it's harder. We do, the only thing we have left is a sense of Hashkacha. People are led in different directions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu endows a person with talents. He endows a person with resources. He endows a person, for instance, if a person has a tremendous tshuka to daven for the Amid and inspire people with very heartfelt words of tefillah, but if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not endow him with a voice, then that's not the right path to take. It's as simple as that. A person's background, a person's upbringing. One person was brought up learning from age 3, one person started learning at the age of 20, one person started learning at the age of 30. Each and every person has different general tafkidim. And we can only hope to kind of gain a sense of it by the flow of things. Person makes a realistic cheshbon nefesh. He asks himself, what are my options? What are my nisyonos? Can I do this? Am I cut out to do this? Etc. And that's the best we have. We just don't have any other resource for doing that. But what it means is, a person, when he looks at himself and he asks himself, how shall I evaluate my ruchnistic sense? There's two cheshbon nefeshes. One is, how much learning I do, how much davening, what quality davening, what quality learning, how much stuck, and so on and so forth. And then the second question is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And that's, sometimes there's just not much choices. I mean, the person, everything is sort of predestined, everything is dictated to the person as that. But a lot of times a person has different possibilities. I have a friend of mine, an acquaintance of mine, a very chashuv person, who was a chashuv learner and was very good in math, and he was a math professor in the university and supported himself and learned most of the other time. And Rav Hutner was his Rebbe, called him in, and he said, I don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent you to this world to teach calculus to Irish girls. You should be opening up a Beis Yaakov. And this person opened up one, and it is a very, very, very successful one. Many, many of his talents are used up in it. But he had a Rebbe who saw in him the talents. We're short on believing in Ruach HaKodesh type things. Rav Hutner was an extremely perceptive person, understood people's strengths and where they could be applied to, and he applied it, and today he's a person, a little bit of an older person, He has a tremendous nachzuruch, and he built up a tremendous maisit. So a person's cheshbon of where he belongs is done with hashkacha, tefillah, and so on. Is there a safe one? It's very easy to say. Obviously, Shevet Levi is the safest one. So there are a few stories some that I personally know, and some that are very famous. There's a story by the Chavetz Chaim that there was a wealthy man in town who, he was a very kind person, gave person money and so on. He decided one year to become frumer, and he started going to Ting Chatzois or extra early Slichas or something of that nature. And the Chofetz Chaim told him, deserting is not only when a sailor goes to the bar. If a sailor decides to fly an airplane, he's deserting just as well. In other words, Chofetz Chaim meant to tell him, you're supposed to be Osek in your melacha and give tzedakah. Doing something else is going to take away from it, and you're putting your kochos in the wrong place, and it's a misplaced frumkeit. I know an acquaintance of mine who did not spend his early years sitting and learning, and did make a lot of money. He changed over the years and became a lot more interested in learning. And Baruch Hashem, at some point, his investments went so well that he was able to drop his job and just sit and learn. He went to ask a shayla, and he asked like two of the chashuv hashivas of our generation, and they, you know, without asking each one, without telling each one, he asked the other one, and they both said something very similar. They said, Klai Yisrael needs zvulun, Klai Yisrael needs yisachas. If you can be as good as a yisach as you are a zvulun, no one has the right to tell you to be a zvulun. But if it's not the case, then you need to be in shevet zvulun and not wander off to a different shevet. It was easy to tell him that in the sense that he had proved himself as a zvulun, both in terms of his ability to make it happen and his kindness and generosity. So we could say, you know, this person was in his 40s, or about 40 when the child was asked. So that's not a hard one. But for most of us, it is the very difficult question. And most of the time, when we choose on careers, that's really an issue that we have to deal with. Yes?
Rebbe, how does one, I mean, I guess maybe this is really what Rebbe's getting at, but how does one make sure that they're not being complacent versus realistic? In other words, it might be easy for a person to say, well, these are my circumstances, you know, I'm not so good at this, I'm not so good at that, so this is all I'll go do, as opposed to, well, you know, if really you apply yourself a little bit more, maybe you could do X, maybe you could do Y.
That's one reason why a person needs a Rebbe to consult, simply because he needs somebody that's not him, somebody that can look at it more coolly and tell him it's a misplaced guilt complex, or you're right, why don't you just push further? That's the job of Rebbe. And the thing I want to emphasize is there is no safe answer. In other words, you can't say, well, if I tell him to be a Shevet Levi, then we're safe. We're not safe because a Shevet Zvulun who is in Yisachar camp will not be a happy camper. And a lot of the issues that crop up because of it. There is another facet of this picture that makes it also very difficult for us to cope with. And that is the difference between the tafkid that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us for and the way that in this world we need to describe it. We said before, Shevet Levi has a tremendously important tafkid, so does Shevet Zvulun, so does God, so does Don. Don is Masa Chol HaMachna. Don is the guys who collect everything, the lost and founds, and there's Chashev, that was kind of a little bit of a degrading job. They travel after everybody else, and they pick up all the stuff that's been left over, and so on and so forth. Yeah, obviously, there's a Ruchnistik dimension to it, but the Masa Chol HaMachna, but Becholifin, it's definitely kind of a last type of thing. But we need to understand that in this world, Shevet Levi is the prominent Shevet. Klal Yisrael was set up in the Midbar, with Shevet Levi as being the center point, and the Rishonim say, Akedah Barichus goes through it. The point is, we need to put him in the middle and build the structure of Klal Yisrael with the Shevet Levi at the very, very peak. Now, having said that, so on the one hand, we're emphasizing this world Shevet Levi is the peak. And if I hold out a Talmud Chacham, then I'm being part of his Torah. And this is the greatest mitzvah you can do, and this is and Nachzakas HaTorah, and so on and so forth. Tremendous amount of very, very good things happening with it. But I cannot leave my position if that's not the right position for me. The way in which it's structured is in this world, Shevet Levi is the Chashev. Everybody kind of feeds into Shevet Levi. In the world to come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hold us responsible for what we were supposed to do. And if I was going to be a good usher, and I would produce those olives with the oil, whatever it means on a deeper level, and I didn't do it, then I deserted it. And the fact that I took a more prestigious job is not going to help me, because that's not the job that I was given to do. It's a very, very tough sometimes to tell difference. And what makes it harder is, in this world, we do stand up for Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi is the chashuv one. There's a muscle that I have to it, which people helps people realize the two ways of viewing something. If we have two people, two Talmidim, one is a real genius. He was born an Ilui, and awesome memory, lightning quick, Tfisa, tons of creativity, and so on. And there's a second guy, he has a classmate who was born with very average abilities, but learns a tremendous asmada. I need to admire the masmit. I need to say, Lasid Lavo, your chelik is awesome. But in this world, if the other guy knows his stuff better, he's the bigger Talmid Chacham, I owe him greater acknowledgement. Because at the end of the day, it's the Torah Shabbo, it's the Chacham Shabbo that's there. So I'm in a strange position. I need to make a statement about somebody's chshivas, and the chshivas is Shevet Levi, hands down, that's the Davar Chashuv. And everything feeds into Shevet Levi, kind of, all the roads lead to Shevet Levi, and he's the crowned one, and so on and so forth. And yet, I need to understand that as far as I'm concerned, as far as me, myself, is concerned, I have a tafkid that's not less than them. So the person who's learning with tremendous hasmar and says nefesh might get our admiration, and we say, "Wow, he's did you ever see such and such nefesh for learning and such harving and so on and so forth?" But I need to ask the shaila to the bigger Talmid Chacham, and I need to give more cover to the bigger Talmid Chacham. So in this world, we acknowledge a very clear pattern, and the reason is because it helps us form that image. Everything feeds into it by having Shevet Levi in the middle. All the Shvatim have meaning with regard to Shevet Levi. It's similar, if we want the quote from Sos HaShana we said last week, where if somebody's over the Shem Bemis, he uplifts the entire world with him and brings it to its tafkid. So Shevet Levi does that to the entire world. The same thing is true about a human body. If a person has great, fantastic brains, but his kidneys are going kaput, then all the great brains will not help him, and he will die. That is if the kidneys go. But if the kidneys are functioning and the brain is functioning, the brain is definitely the center of the person. It's definitely what everything is there for. So when we speak about the role of each one, if the kidneys, if the liver decided it wants to start thinking a little bit, it will kill the person, and it's a murderer in a sense. But if it plays along and gives, then it's found its place. So in terms of a person's tafkid in this world, there's a basic training and things that apply to everybody, with obviously some variations that some people need to spend more time in davening, some are learning, some are chesed. But within the realm of a very, very common denominator, of a minimum common denominator, there is such a thing and applies to everybody. The Shulchan Aruch at its basic level. But then we start asking ourselves, I have special talents. I can daven movingly and sweep up everybody with it. But I need to practice a few weeks before and it's going to take away from my learning. Should I do it or not? I know how to help people who need to get hold of a doctor. And and they tell them there's no appointment for the next 6 months. But I need to drop my learning, and I need to be in the towns of my davening and be on three phones at the same time. So there the second issue comes in of my particular tafkid. I was yotzim my, the chiyuv that the minuchim Torah puts on it, and I build my life according to a certain tafkid. So the answer to how do one vis-a-vis the other is a general tafkid which applies to everybody, specific tafkid which applies to each entity and each person, so on and so forth. On the personal level and the olam habadika level, what I'm meant to do personally is as chashuv as what the other person is meant to do personally. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me in a certain way and he's not going to mugare anything. In this world, we need to focus at Shevet Levi in the middle and bring everything up to it. Yes, Pinchas.
Why do we need to focus on Shevet Levi being in the middle?
Okay. The Rambam says, the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos and Pirkei Avos says that the most profound statement in Pirkei Avos is Kol Masech Yul Hashem Shemayim Shenema B'chol Drachecha De'ehu U'yasher Chasecha. That the Rambam says B'chol Drachecha De'ehu means that a person needs to construct his life in a pattern so that all of his activities are flowing towards one thing, which is, I guess, Haskavi, they also according to Rambam, and L'Shem Shemayim, and so on and so forth. The L'Shmoz of L'Shem Shemayim, those arrows that point towards what the person is doing right, what the person is doing L'Shem Shemayim, in this world, we mimic it by having the Migdash in the middle, and the Anshem Migdash in the Meshar Sekel. Just like in the body, the brain does have the seat of prominence because all of the body is there to help the brain do what it can do. Shevet Levi is the Shevet that most strongly expresses the direct Asiya of Klal Yisrael. But if the person who's a liver decides to check out on that, he is... He's a Rotzeach. The Shevet Levi, the setup that we have with Migdash in the middle and Shevet Levi in the middle and so on and so forth, was there to give us our correct understanding of what's the structure of the Bria and so on.
So it's not necessarily that we're trying, or that the Tzura that Hashem gave us is trying to... I guess maybe it is trying to encourage that this is what people should aspire for, or is it
well,
that
even,
this is the etzim chasav
even,
and just
even,
recognize
even
that.
If they aspiring, the word aspiring can mean the following. If I aspire, let me tell you an anecdote of sorts. When I came to Eretz Yisrael, there was a person older than me by a few years, a Yerushalmi, one of the warmest people I'd ever met, I have ever met. Somebody who is pure goodness and warmth, not academic at all. He went to a Yerushalmi cheder where naturally he was basically put into the garbage heap. He came to the Meir Yeshiva, and the Meir Yeshiva was a place where people had a place, so on, and just everybody felt they had a place and they belonged. This person began to use his talents with tremendous self-sacrifice to help many institutions. He set up kitchens for institutions that saved him thousands of dollars. He made centralized kitchens. He's still at Meir Vestnitz, alive and very, very functioning person. He used his talents, and the sacrifice that he has is there because he aspires to Torah as an ideal. When he walks in the base measures, these people learning and knows that he was able, that he made it happen, that gives him the sense of I have established Torah, that he feels it, well, he's a partner, and in every moisture that he's affiliated with, people look at him that way because that's how he looks at it. So a Shevet Levi represents the ideal of Torah, just like your brain represents the ideal of the person's body, the thinking brain, the higher brain. So Shevet Levi is there because that represents that, but who gets the schar and who does the work and so on and so forth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges that. Okay.